Apple's phone will self-destruct in 3, 2.
I just want you to know that that's the first part of what they're going to hear. It's you saying the phone's going to self-destruct. What's up, guys? So if you have your Bibles, let's open up to the book of Psalms. And we're going to go all the way, well, maybe not all the way to the back, but we're going to go to 137. Yeah. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. You can. It's pretty cool. It's a relatively short psalm. But I think there's a lot of meat in there. Or at least like 15 minutes worth of meat. So Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of your songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land?'" So just a little bit of historical background for this. I want to say it was like 586, I had it written down and I forget, BC. Judah has just been captured by Babylon, and they have been deported from their home. So a foreign country came in and kicked them out of their place. So they're hanging out by the Euphrates and Tigris, I think it is, rivers. And this entire group of people are being made fun of and being asked to kind of perform like slaves. One of the big things I like about this, even though it's such a sad thing to read, which is weird for Psalms, just because most of Psalms is all about like, "Oh God, you're super awesome," and stuff like this. And here it's like, "Yo, this sucks. Like, I've given up on life." That's how I've read it. Judah was known for their music. And one of the things that Judah did was when they would go into battle, they would actually send their worship leaders out first. So the fact that they say that they hung their harps on the trees, like they gave up, they put down their arms. And for whatever reason, I was just brought to this last night and I read it and I just broke down. And it just like really spoke to me, just because I think that it's really easy to get up or to get caught up in our circumstances and our surroundings. Life's not easy. But with that being said, I think we have choices on how we can deal with those issues that come our way. For me personally, I haven't been in the best place lately. Life's just been continuously kicking me and kicking me and kicking me. And I'm like, I just want to stand up. That'd be great. Like, let me stand up and then kick me again. Like, give me that little bit of a break and breath before I get kicked again. And it hasn't come. And for me, that's been really hard. Just because it's put me in this mindset of just not focusing on the things I should be focusing on and just really isolating myself. So like reading this, it hit home to me, and I'm like, well, shoot, I've been over here being like, well, God's silent, God's not talking, God's not here, and I'm bitter about it. But like, that's not the case. And I think in this part, Israel was held captive, but it was of their own doing. Like, this isn't something that just kind of popped up. Like, they had plenty of warning about this, and they knew, like, God was talking to them and saying, "Hey, do this," and Israel went, "Great, let's not do this," and did the exact opposite of it. And I know for myself, I tend to do that a lot, because for whatever reason, I think I know more about my life than like God does, which is stupid because it's God, you know? And so by doing that, they found themselves in a place of despair. And rather than getting up and getting out of that place of despair, they chose to sit in it, and they sat in their filth, and they just waited and went, woe is me, I'm the victim in this situation, life sucks. Like, they did exactly the opposite of what they were known to do. Like, they were worshipers, they were supposed to praise the Lord, and they sat and they hung up their instruments and went, well, I just give up. Life is meaningless. Later on in this psalm, the author, who isn't known, but historically speaking, we've been able to figure out that it was somebody who was held captive. He goes on and he curses himself and basically says if he ever forgets Zion and Jerusalem and the temple and stuff like that, he would rather be dead. So here he is sitting in this terrible place looking at the past and going, this is how it used to be, that's what I'm comfortable with, that's what I want. But he doesn't have it. So he was longing for home and for how things used to be. But his circumstances had changed. And I think that a lot of times that when we step out in faith, it takes us out of our comfort zone. But getting out of our comfort zone is where the most growth happens. So it's really easy to figure out, like, when you're in a new place, you don't know your surroundings. Like, when I moved here, I didn't understand where anything was. Now that I've been here, like, a little over a year, like, I get it. It makes sense. It's a grid. It's super easy. But when I was first here, I was like, dude, you guys have numbers. Like, none of this makes sense. Your streets are stupid. Just call it an actual name. Other than 400 this, 300 that. Yeah, exactly. Now it makes sense. Now I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly where that is. And so sometimes there's like this transitional period for us where we feel like everything is kind of turned on end. And we don't pay attention to what God's doing in our lives because we're so focused on ourselves. And I think in situations like that, it's really easy for us just to walk into this place and be like, well, I've been abandoned. Like if you look at Gideon, like when he was approached by the angel of the Lord, his first thing that he says to this angel who says, hello, mighty warrior, he says, pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? That's the first thing this guy says. So I think that we just need to stop playing the victim, and we need to stop blaming God for everything that happens around us and for the things that make us uncomfortable, because that's where growth happens. Like, for me, I've been having a bunch of back issues, so I've been going to the chiropractor and stuff like that, and one of the things the chiropractor has me do is he has me do these stupid stretches that I hate and I very rarely do. But it's making me uncomfortable because it hurts to do these stretches, but doing these stretches is the only thing that's going to make me better. So you have to get through a little bit of uncomfort and a little bit of pain in order to get better. So how can we appreciate the good things in our life without bad things happening to us? If you're super thirsty and you drink water, it satisfies you, right? If you're dehydrated and on the verge of death, and you drink water, how much more satisfying is that water? So I think that rather than us coming through and just like hanging up our instruments and like these things that God has put on our hearts or our dreams or our talents or our desires, whatever that is, we need to hold on to them and we need to produce whatever our music was made to be. Because if you don't do that, then you're just wasting away. And it's really easy to focus on that. The next psalm is really cool. Because it goes from this whole super depressed, emo-sounding crap to, this is a psalm of David saying, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord. When they hear what you have decreed, may they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. So we go from this place, the psalm directly before that says, how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? To, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. So it doesn't matter what your situation is. You can still sing praise, and you can still focus on God, and you can still focus on what you're supposed to be doing. So reading that just really, it made me take a hard look at myself and go, okay, if Israel found themselves in this situation because of what they were doing, what have I been doing, and why do I feel like I can't connect with God right now? Like, I know it's not God, because God wants to connect with all of us. So what am I doing that's preventing this? And I realize I'm not making time. Like, I haven't made it a priority. And I've seen how that's changed. Just my viewpoints on life and just, like, how I'm acting and stuff. Not that I'm going out and I'm, like, acting a fool and, like, I don't know, getting in gang fights and stuff like that. Like, I'm not doing that, but it's just, like, simple things where I'm just like, oh, shoot, like, some of the things and some of the ways I react to situations isn't how I would normally react when I'm in, like, a good headspace or whatever. So I think for, like, this is as much for me as it is for anybody else listening right now, but I think that we need to make God a priority, and once we make God a priority, we need to listen. And you need to find your joy, and you don't let it go. Because joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So if you can find joy in something, you can find God in it. One of the other things that really kind of struck me was, I went back, I think it's like Exodus 33. Exodus 33, kind of jumping around. This is a little off tangent, but this is basically Moses is talking to God, and he's kind of complaining about the people he's with. And God is just kind of saying, what does he say? I got to find it. Sorry. Moses says to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So for me, that kind of struck me, because I'm like, here's all these people who are just like complaining, and they're making, like, they have literally just been freed from Egypt, and they're already like, well, we experienced these miracles, but that was like a little bit ago. Now it's different. Like, these are the same people that saw like Aaron's staff change and like the waters of the Nile turned to blood, and like the gnats, like they saw all this different stuff, and yet their hearts still turned away from God. And like, for me, I'm just like, in like a really cynical way that makes me feel better about myself, because I haven't seen that stuff. And if they saw that and still were just like, well, we're in the middle of a desert and it sucks and it's hot and this guy smells bad, like, if they can do that after witnessing all these things and still have their doubts, then I'm like, shoot, okay, maybe my life's really not that bad, and maybe this is just kind of growing pains, and this is a normal thing. But Moses is there, and all these people are complaining, and Moses is just like, I want them to know that you're with us. How do I do that? And basically, it gets to the point where Moses can ask anything he wants from God, and the one thing that he asks is, what does he say? It's the way it's phrased in this. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. And so Moses could have asked anything, and said, he says, now show me your glory. Like, he's in the midst of this, like, really tough time in his life, and rather than being like, dude, just shut these guys up, like, We've been getting fed with manna. Like, we've had, like, water come from rocks. Like, all this different stuff. We've had everything provided for us. These people are stiff-necked people and annoying as hell. Just wipe them out. Like, Moses could have easily done that, and yet Moses has been trying to, like, convince God, like, hey, no, they're still your people. Remember that thing. Like, I know we're annoying. I know we suck. But Moses just wants to see the glory of God. And for whatever reason, like, that really hit me, where I'm just like, rather than complaining that life's hard and, like, my family has issues and I have issues and I don't know what I'm doing with my life, like, how much better would my life be if through these circumstances I still looked towards God and I picked up my harp or whatever that may look like, and rather than complaining and cursing myself and hating myself for what I've done, I turn it to and give it to God. And I go after his glory. And I think that's how our circumstances change. Like, yeah, it's going to be hard. It might not feel good. But that's okay. Like, it doesn't matter if it doesn't feel good, because sometimes things that don't feel good are good for you. Stretching, it's great for you. I hate it. I don't want to stretch for 30 minutes. Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. I waited 13 years for that game. Are you kidding me? 13 years, 7 days, not that I counted. I counted. Yeah. So this past 24 hours has just really, like, I don't know, shifted my perspective on things. So I just want to challenge you guys, like, what are some areas in your life? Like, it doesn't have to be, like, necessarily just with you and God, but what are some areas in your life where, like, you are struggling or you're having issues with, or you don't feel comfortable about it, and how can you change your perspective and change your focus rather than playing a victim and having this victim mentality? Because your mentality births your reality, you know? Like, if you're here, sitting here going, woe is me, my life sucks, then your life's going to suck. It's as easy as that. But if you're sitting here and going, you know, my life gets hard, but my life's really good, guess what? Your life's awesome. You've got a great life. Like, count your blessings, you know? It could be so much worse than what it is right now. But I don't know. That's kind of what I've been going through for the past couple weeks. And, like, I'll be honest, like, I've been bitter, I've been angry, I've been depressed, there's a lot of stuff going on. But at the end of the day, I gotta grow up, you know? I can't just throw a temper tantrum and just complain all the time, you know? Again, that's easier said than done, but challenge yourself. Stretch, get out of that mindset, you know? I don't know. That's, you told me to talk about, like, kind of what I've been going through. So.